Okay, 3, 2.
3, 2, hit it!
It's time to double down with Max and Stacey on Sputnik Radio. Coming up on the show, we talk to Mitch Feierstein of PlanetPonzi.com. But first, as always, it's time to hear from Stacey with the hottest headlines of the day.
Oh, yeah. It is definitely Planet Ponzi, Max. We have negative yielding sovereign bonds hit 14 trillion. No, 15 trillion. Wait, make that 16 trillion. And now it's 17 trillion. The bond black hole is getting larger and scarier, with a third of the global market now negative. That's a headline from ABC News in Australia. They call it the quantum of negative yielding debt. Doubled to 14 trillion in the first half of 2019. Its growth now appears to be hitting warp speed.
Yeah, this is fascinating stuff. You know, you go back history of interest rates, and you have to go back 5,000 years, and you never find a period in history where interest rates are this low, because they've gone negative, and that has never, ever happened before. You know, we've entered the event horizon of negative interest rates. You've gone through a portal, some kind of crazy, wacky mirror, crazy Alice in Wonderland mirror, where nothing in economics makes any sense anymore. It's a whole new school. Of course, the guy who's been documenting this from day one came out with that book just a few years ago, Planet Ponzi, warned everybody. We've had him on the show lots of times. And now one's worst nightmares have come true. Mitch Feierstein, it's freaking 17 trillion in negative rates.
Well, unfortunately, Max, I'd like to say that they're going to stop at 17, but this is only the beginning of what we're going to see. And unfortunately, they're forcing all this stuff into pension funds, because a lot of the pension funds are required to have X amount of different types of government securities held in their account. So when U.S. goes negative, and when all the others go negative, pension funds are going to have to change the holdings in treasuries, because the only thing that you're guaranteed for sure on Wall Street is if you buy a negative interest rate bond, you will lose money. That's the only certainty that I've known in my entire career. And why anybody would buy them is absolute sheer madness, because it implies that there is a zero probability of default. Now, I don't believe that, and I think it's just a gross misprice of risk. Now, how did we get to where we are? We got to where we are because there are grotesque asset bubbles out there that were inflated by central bank largesse. So were these bailouts or bail-ins is the question. It appears that what they want to do now with negative interest rates is capitalize or recapitalize the banks and the garbage that they have on their balance sheets. This is very dangerous, and this trend will end very badly. That's why we're seeing people shifting into alternative asset classes, and we've seen a recent rise in gold. We've seen the Bank of International Settlements come in with their usual slam, selling a million contracts to push the price down, to manipulate the price of gold and silver lower. But look, that's going to work until it doesn't. The paper contracts are worthless. The physical asset in gold is going to be worth a lot more. And eventually you're going to see an exchange failure that we've talked about before, when JP Morgan was trying to corner the market in all commodities by buying all the warehousing and manipulating the prices.
Max did mention, basically, Alice went through the looking glass, and the Red Queen had to explain to Alice that time moved at a different pace there. And in fact, through the looking glass, you have to run twice as fast just to stay in the same place. So you mentioned gold, you mentioned central banks, and you mentioned this negative yielding debt. Alan Greenspan is all of those, right? He's a former central banker. And before that, he was a gold bug. He was recently asked about all this negative yielding debt, and he said, why people continue to buy long-term treasuries at such low yields may be also due to forces having altered people's time preference. But there is hundreds of years of history showing the long-term stability in time preference, so these changes won't be forever. So he's pointing out that the negative yield phenomenon has destroyed the time value of money, but that people will once again value time, and that this is going to blow up the bond market.
Well, I think whenever you have a crisis, a time of crisis, people flock to the U.S. dollar. Because, look, it's been the reserve currency since 1913. So it's got a long history of stability and being a safe place to be. However, the U.S. government has around $250 trillion in debt. So how that will be repaid, I have no idea. When you look at the amount of debt service, just the interest on the debt and how quickly that's growing, of course they need to go to negative interest rates because they can't afford to pay the debt on the interest on the debt that they have in the existing holdings. So if we look at the amount of debt and corporate debt, we've made new highs. The AAA bonds and junk bonds between now and I think 2021 or 2023, I don't have the numbers in front of me, we've got about $5.8 trillion in refinancing that needs to come through. That's BBB and junk. That doesn't include what the government has to do, and it doesn't include other corporate debt that's got to be refinanced. So there's a huge amount coming down the pipeline, and I don't know who's going to buy all this. I don't know this supply, who's going to soak up all the supply at these historically low rates. It's just not an attractive alternative. So I think it's going to be highly problematic. And if you look at leveraged loans, the amount of leveraged loans has reached a new peak as well. This is peak insanity in my view, and it's got to end badly, but maybe it will be the old PDT, the pumpy, dumpy, blame it all on Trumpy, pumpy, dumpy, Trumpy. So they'll leave him holding the bag when the next crisis hits right before the election.
Yeah. What's really strange is that, almost since the beginning of recorded history, this idea of borrowing money and paying it back with an interest rate has been the bedrock of our concept of both time and money. And there's always been an interest rate attached to borrowing money. Even gold has an interest rate based on an implied situation of borrowing gold. You know, what's the gold interest rate, even though it pays no rate, right? So here you have a situation where, I mean, it's like a meteor strike that hit planet Earth, and no one's really talking about it much in the mainstream media. I mean, you went negative interest rate, $17 trillion, a third of all the sovereign debt is negative rates. So in other words, the time value of money is negative. How do you value a security? How do you use the dividend discount model? What's a stock worth? What's a bond worth? What's property worth? What's anything worth if time itself has a negative value, Mitch?
Well, right. You're right, Max. But what's really the most perverse aspect of this is the way that Wall Street has always been pricing risk is by using the 10-year government bond as the basis, as the baseline to price risk and to price junk bonds, and everything's priced off the 10-year generally. So you've got, you know, the senior traders now weren't even born in the 87 crash, and they probably were in high school or in diapers when the 2000.com collapse happened. So they have no recollection of higher interest rates, A, and they have no recollection of interest rates rising. And they believe the function of central banks is to bail out profligate institutions instead of letting them go bankrupt. So quite frankly, the mechanism for profligacy is bankruptcy. Capitalism without bankruptcy is like Catholicism without hell. I say that in my book, and I mean it, and it's true today, and it will be true forever. So the market clearing mechanism is bankruptcy. When you bail out zombies, you just get bigger zombies. I mean, look at Tesla, for example. Tesla has borrowed $12 billion and they are yet to turn a substantial profit. They really don't have any way to become a profitable company. Same thing with Lyft, same thing with Uber. These are huge, grotesque asset bubbles inflated by central bank money printing, Swiss National Bank entering the stock market, the corporate bond market, same thing with the European Central Bank, same thing with the Bank of Japan. This is a disturbing trend, and it's only going to get worse, especially when the Federal Reserve starts manipulating the stock market outright when they decide to buy ETFs or have come up with some other crazy plan to create even bigger bubbles, which will ultimately make the collapse, the ultimate collapse, bigger, 10 times bigger than it was in 2007 and 8.
Well, let's talk about that ultimate collapse and tie that together with this destruction of the time value of money and zombies. Because here's a quote from Hong Kong-based Macquarie strategist Victor Schwetz, and he wrote that this destruction of time value has serious consequences. The destruction of the cost of money not only interferes with credit cycles, but also keeps zombies alive. It encourages speculation and discourages productive investment. It spurs a race to the bottom with beggar-thy-neighbor strategies as nations compete to maximize returns from an ever-declining utility of debt. So all fiat currencies nowadays are debt-backed. So if there's an ever-declining utility of debt, Mitch, what happens? What's the future telling us? What is the now telling us? I know time has no value, but what is it trying to tell us as it has no value any longer? Are we going to a gold-backed currency or gold as an international trade settlement? What's going to happen?
I certainly wouldn't rule that out because, look, fiat currency had value when it was backed by something. The only thing it's backed by is the United States military right now. And if you look at stocks and valuation in general, I think the time value they're saying is really risk. Risk is grossly mispriced because valuations peaked about 2 years ago. But thanks to buybacks, right, the numerator changes. So when you keep buying your shares back, it appears that you're making more money, but you're not making, your profit is the same, but it appears that you're making more per share because there are less shares because you're buying them back and you're leveraging it by going out into the market and borrowing money, issuing corporate debt to buy back your shares. So this is perpetuating the Ponzi scheme and it's being mispriced because the risk is higher the more debt you incur. So everything is grossly mispriced, which is what I've been saying for years, and it will end really badly, and people will have to move into different safe havens. That's why gold, silver have been for 6,000 years the store of value, because it's a limited precious metal. There's limited production, yet there's infinite demand. So finite commodities with infinite demand. Same thing with Bitcoin, but Bitcoin is a lot more volatile in terms of price action than gold will ever be.
A couple of questions. So this whole negative rate in the 10-year bond, we still see a positive rate in the U.S., but how soon, if ever, that will go negative? And second of all, your comment on Deutsche Bank, what's happening there? They created a bad bank. Looks like they're going to have to create an even worse bank, Mitch.
Yeah, it probably will be. But if you look at inflation and inflation adjust, I mean, is the yield of the 10-year bond where it is now, is that when you inflation adjust that number, is it still positive or is it really negative? I mean, it depends how you calculate that. Deutsche Bank, I was on your program years ago, and I told you with their derivatives exposure, they are busto. But the German government cannot allow Deutsche Bank to go under. So it will be a sustaining zombie. They'll zombify it. It's going to be one of the biggest zombies on the planet. I mean, you know, their stock will trade down to almost next to nothing because it's worthless. The same thing with Royal Bank of Scotland that the British government bailed out. It's a worthless stock. So do they have a lot of rot on the balance sheet? Both of them do. Will we ever find out the extent of it? Of course not. It will be covered up. But will it be bad for the entire system? Yes, it will. So, you know, we're not even getting into the derivatives exposures that are out there off balance sheet, all the off balance sheet stuff that's out there as well. It's going to compound this when the first bond defaults happen in BBB or junk. Then people are going to flee for the hills, and that's when it's going to get really bad. You know, I don't think they can contain it this time.
Now, we talk about the black hole of debt, and it does, of course, when you go into the black hole, you pass the event horizon, and the fact that this negative yielding debt is increasing by over $1 trillion a week now, it's rapidly escalating. Have we passed that event horizon? Is there no going back? How soon do you see this happening where this collapse? Because where does this end, right? Will it happen before Trump leaves office?
See, that's a really hard one to call because, you know, I don't know what, I never thought when I wrote my book back in 2012, I didn't think that the central banks would band together and magic up hundreds of trillions of dollars in liquidity. All they did is they postponed the problem and made it bigger and reflated grotesquer bubbles this time. So that trick, I think, is finished. I don't think they can do that again. And if they do, the unintended consequences are going to be even more severe. So I think what they're doing is trying to set up the markets for a big fall. And I think, you know, Trump is the perfect fall guy for this to happen and for it to happen on his shift because they want to get rid of him at any cost anyway. So when will it happen? I'm not sure. Is it certain that it will happen soon? Yes, it is, because I think things are about to snap. Plus, you know, we didn't even bring up the geopolitical significance of what's going on in Hong Kong now, or that the United States wants to get into a war with Iran, or, you know, what's going on in the Middle East at all. I mean, these are other flashpoints or diversion points away from the real economic problems and woes that we're having.
Yeah, we're going to have to save that for another time. That's it for this episode of Double Down with me, Max Keiser, and Stacey Herbert on Sputnik Radio. I'd like to thank our guest, Mitch Feierstein of PlanetPonzi.com. Until next week, bye, y'all.